pertain the adoption. Now, Paul said the Gentiles are being grafted in. They're adopted also, but so is Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth, as a nation. Now, that does not mean that if you are born a Jew, you are automatically going to heaven. It does not mean that at all, but it does mean that Israel, the nation, is a treasure to God, and no nation will unseat them.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 22.
Most of you know the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and they both died, the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus told us. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And so there it is, a burden for the lost, but it's too late. It's too late for him. He's concerned about his five brothers. He himself already passing into the first phase of an everlasting judgment. Abraham's response is significant. It is relevant to us. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, let them go to the Bible. Let them turn to the Word of God. If they want to avoid a sure judgment because of sin, then they need to find out what God says. Abraham continues, and he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Just like a rebellious child, always disagreeing with the wisdom and the judgments that come from on high, the rich man resists the answer. But Abraham remains firm. He does not back down and become what we know today as seeker-friendly. He says, but he said to him, the Bible says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one be raised from the dead, which did happen, a prophetic factor built into the parable of our Lord. Keeping that in mind, we come now to the 9th chapter of Romans 8, understanding that faith is made of trust, and there are tenses of faith. There is saving faith and there is serving faith. Paul the Apostle had a great burden for the lost, and he begins this 9th chapter that way. And we, the spectators, 2,000 years later, are observing everything he's saying, especially we who are born again, because we want to do it not only right, but wonderfully. We want a pep in the tone of the Lord when he says, well done. I don't think we want to hear him say, oh, well done. I want to hear him say, right on, well done, that's how you do it, come on, come, hurry up. That's what I'm working for. We read in Romans 9, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Why does Paul have to say this? I tell the truth in Christ. Is there anything else in Christ to tell? Why does he have to say it this way? Because there were those following Paul, gossiping about him, lying about him, hunting him even, hounding him, saying that he was an apostate from the God of Moses, from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were attacking his personality as well as his witness. How discouraging that should have become. How many of us would have said, I don't need this kind of ministry. I wanted to just usher at the door. I didn't expect people to start talking bad about me and my family because of it. I just wanted to teach and preach the Word of God. I did not think people would argue with me and lie about me and stab me in my back in Jesus' name. And yet those things are taking place. I did not expect that I would fail so often in my attempts to minister for a wonderful God. I thought that everything would just sort of fit together if I had my facts lined up. God is a defender of the weak, and anyone who would ever minister for the Lord must remember that He is a defender of the weak. And that said, you're no longer weak. It is the strength of God that goes before you. Therefore, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the second letter, chapter 4, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not cave in. He says it twice in this section. In another part in the same chapter, he writes, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. But the outward man is not perishing fast enough for me. That is, I, dead to sin, sin not dead to me. Paul continues in Corinthians, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. That's pretty deep. The things that are inside, the things that are in my head even, it does not only mean that, but it includes that. We're against that. We have renounced any thought that comes into our head that is contrary to Christ is renounced. Taking every thought into captivity, we'll write later. He continues, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And so there it is again. Paul is saying we are dealing with the truth. Our conscience is clear. God is working with us, and we with Him, the fellowship with God. I tell the truth. And again, Romans chapter 9, verse 1. In Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. These things are spiritual. They are not soulish. We are not to be soul men. What that means in the scripture is that that's as far as we have gone. The soul of man is developed. That part of man that deals with man, the soul. But the spiritual man, that's what we want to develop. That is that part of man that deals with God. And then, of course, deals with men. A great difference between being decent and being righteous. Anyone without Christ can be decent, relatively speaking. But it takes a relationship, holiness with the Lord, to produce character that is righteous with men, that is based on a direct relationship with God, that all things become new, old things pass away. We no longer walk by sight, but we walk by faith, because we're not a soul man, we are spiritual men. Those who worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, Paul says, also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit, that is precisely what he is talking about. There are doctrines, there are teachings within the church, and the way that it is handled by Christians that feed the brain and starve the spirit. So you just have a knowledgeable congregation, but if facts aren't right, it has no life. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. There is also a behavior found in Christianity that feeds the soul. It makes you dance. It makes you move. It excites you. You can even speak in tongues. You can feel very good about your religion. But it starves the spirit. The balance is gone. The knowledge is not there. Poise is balance under pressure. For instance, a quarterback in the pocket. Surrounding him are men as big as Volkswagens, crashing into each other, angry because they got to take more steroids when they're done. And there he is, cool, calm, and collected, looking downfield, thinking, poise, grace, the ballerina moving around flawlessly, balanced. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. Poise under pressure, balance, grace, holding it together. Truth, the soul, yes, but not without the spirit. The spirit, yes, rightly related to God, not sensual, but governed by God. Israel means governed by God. And so Paul, writing at this burden for Israel, as we discuss with Lazarus having the rich man, not Lazarus, a misguided burden. Paul's is totally guided. One was of the soul. This one is of the spirit. He continues in verse 2 that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. He had finished the 8th chapter as we know it, a chapter that stated that there is no condemnation in the beginning and in the end there is no separation. But Israel was not now benefiting from this. His people, as a people, not individuals, as a people, as a nation, were not benefiting from this no condemnation because of Christ Jesus. Jeremiah had expressed his grief, but not so much in the form of a burden, though that certainly belonged to his expression, but that he could not reach them. And as such, immorality was taking over like the desire to do evil was like a cocked pistol. The hammer was back, just ready to go. That's how excited the people who were called by God but ignored God had become over doing wrong. We read in Jeremiah 9, chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, which incidentally is why he is given the name the weeping prophet, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. He had the solution to all that troubled them, but it didn't seem to be working. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. The hammer's cocked. They're ready to release their lies. They are not valiant for truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says Jehovah. That is the burden that was on the prophet Jeremiah's heart. That is the burden that is on Paul's heart. It was the burden that was on Moses' heart. It was the burden that was on God's heart. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. It was a burden. And if you call yourself a Christian and you have no burden for the lost, you have a defect that you cannot tolerate. It must be addressed. There must be a part of the Christian heart that is zealously, fervently devoted to reaching the lost. Not zeal without knowledge, zeal with knowledge. If you are governed by God, if you have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, then you will see it the same way. Paul has it. That's what is being displayed to us. That's why we're saying, or have said at the beginning, this is relevant to us. Here is a man being chased by his own people in the name of religion. Not only threatened, but the subject of violence. And he still wants to reach them. And so he continues in verse 3, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, from my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. They're my countrymen according to the flesh. But that's as far as it goes. There has been a disconnect in the spirit. The delight of being born again, the delight of seeing things as God sees them in his presence. It is said of Jehoshaphat the king, and his heart took delight in the ways of Jehovah. Moreover, he removed the high places, the wooden images from Judah. Jehoshaphat began to see things through the eyes of God, and he too had a burden for his nation. Delight is like joy with a little extra sunshine. And yet, as it has been said by A.W. Tozier, we have a great deal of light, but no delight. If you are a Christian and you enjoy your salvation, or if you enjoy the knowledge of your salvation, but there's no fire and zeal and passion for the things of God, something is wrong. You've been feeding your brain, perhaps, but your spirit has been dying. Emaciated spirits are no use to the Lord. Perhaps you've been feeling the crazy part of your emotions so that you can sing songs with zeal and get all excited about emotional things in religion, but you really have no knowledge of what God wants from your life. You have no interest in the deeper things of the Lord. You are still a babe in Christ and you are not growing. If that is the case, then your delight is without light. It is limited. And the Bible addresses these things, and so we are without excuse. And so again, he says, for I could wish, verse 3, Romans 9, that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh. And so man has found himself in this situation where he cannot satisfy God's desire because he cannot produce perfect obedience. And God will not accept imperfect obedience. Paul would not have been a sufficient sacrifice to the Lord because he too is a sinner. As it was with Moses, who Paul is echoing here, and Moses, of course, echoing the Lord. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were saved not by an imperfect man such as Paul or someone else, but it was God the Son himself. That alone ought to excite us enough to be burdened for those who are still lost, who are still in sin. Reading again from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this ministry of reconciliation that we have been assigned to, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that, of course, while we are here, previously Paul writes in the same section, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so it is up to us. You know, I love the 2 Corinthian letter. But this is what happens. This is the dynamic of Christianity on a Sunday where, for example, when we assemble as a body to worship the Lord in song and fellowship and the study of the Word and in the reality of His presence, that would be the communion. We do not have to pass the communion articles to benefit and commune from the communion with the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what happens once the Word and these dynamics have been impressed upon the body and the service is over and you head home. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Grace is to spread through the many. It goes into the congregation. It is an adventure, the adventure of preaching and the adventure of receiving. It goes into the congregation, and the congregation then is spread throughout the community or wherever they find themselves to the glory of God with a burden for the lost and a burden for truth and a burden to be used. And if that is not you, at the end of the message, when the invitation is given for you to come up and pray with the pastors, you should be running up here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, or you do not believe it. Unbelief is a big issue with God. This entire ninth chapter, I am working very hard to not speak about certain doctrines that have so polluted the minds of the saints. When they come to this chapter, they can't even read it for what it says. There's so much junk and clutter, with predestination being abused in its definition, election, predestination, sovereignty. All these words have been totally abused in the minds of many, so that this is no longer, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, a clean and beneficial reading without some sort of theological debate going on in the mind of the reader. My point is that this chapter has to do with the salvation of souls. And what blocks that? It's unbelief. And just two quick sections here, two quick statements. Verse 32 of chapter 9, Paul asks this rhetorical question, why? And we'll get to the reasons why. Because they did not seek it by faith. And then chapter 11, verse 20, well said, because of unbelief they were broken off. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And this is what Paul was up against, Jews who did not believe. There were also Jews who did not like the idea of the gospel reaching the Gentiles. That's what he is fighting. Well, here we come. Do we believe the message that we preach? Or maybe you've been a Christian so long, you've become a little disillusioned. You've allowed the devil to clutter your head with all sorts of meaningless thoughts and feelings. If that's the case, you better be up here asking for prayer. You need to understand that you are to be victorious and not defeated. And so reminding ourselves that that's where Paul is going with this. He's dealing now with Jews and the Jews that aren't saved. He wants to reach them, but they've got so much clutter. And so he now has to say, and this is what he's going to be saying in the ninth chapter, what if God wanted to reach the Gentiles too? Who are you to stop that? Why are you so caught up with this? Well, let's explore it. Verse 4, he continues, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, and eternally blessed God. Amen. Well, we'll get back to all of this, but I need to make some comments. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption? Again, the word Israel means governed by God. It was the name given to Jacob by God when he wrestled before the Lord. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, the tone of Jacob in that exchange, that wrestling with God, is discovered in the prophecy of Hosea, where Hosea says he sought the blessing with weeping. So it was not, you better bless me, or I've got the upper hand on you. It was, please don't let me go till you bless me. I cannot bear to be released without your blessing upon me. And the angel of the Lord, the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, said to him, what is your name? Extracting confession out of him. It translates into, my name is con artist. That's what I'm known as. Your name will no longer be called Mr. Ripoff. From this point forward, you will be known as a man who is controlled by God. Israel, governed by God. That's who we're supposed to be as Christians, Christ-like. That's what Christian means. We're Christ-like. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, what we're considering here is to whom pertain the adoption. Now, Paul said the Gentiles are being grafted in. They're adopted also, but so is Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth as a nation. Now, that does not mean that if you are born a Jew, you're automatically going to heaven. It does not mean that at all, but it does mean that Israel, the nation, is a treasure to God, and no nation will unseat them permanently from their land. In fact, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, listen to this perennial blessing upon Israel. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says Jehovah, so shall your descendants and your name remain. Thank God, at a time where we have so many people in this country who are against Israel, God has raised up the right man in Israel to deal with it. And we as Christians are to look out for any soul that is lost who God gives us a chance to reach. But Paul is saying Israel is where it started as far as God putting together a systematic theology for people. Yes, there were righteous people before Moses and the law came along, without question. But it became a systematic theology through the law. And this belonged to the Jews. They were adopted in the glory, that is the Shekinah that followed them. For example, among other things, the covenants, the Ten Commandments as we know them, plus the other statutes and ordinances given through Moses, the giving of the law. The service of God, the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, the new moon, the festivals, the gathering of the nation together for the Day of Atonement, all these things and so many others belong to the Jew. And he's appealing to the Jew. He's addressing the Jew at this point. And he says, and the promises, of course, so many of them of what God, we just read one from Isaiah 66. And then there's the messianic promises, also verse 5, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. That's right, Christ Jesus came as a Jew. And you cannot be, I don't know how you can be, a Christian and be against Israel. Well, one way you could, I guess, possibly be is you've just been born again 5 minutes ago and you just haven't had a chance to learn any better, for an example. But this kindred spirit to what God is doing is what attracts us to the nation Israel, but we are not Israel.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Tune in next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the book of Romans here on Cross Reference Radio.